You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYN ads.com.
And with my workouts, he started in a chair. My chair force workouts. Then he went to Stand Strong, where he used the chair. Today, the son of a bitch can do my diamond cutter workouts.
Professional wrestling superstar, champion, entrepreneur, author, and show host. Ryback feeds you more interviews, more stories, more information, and more laughs than ever before. Let's go! Conversation with the big guy, Ryback, with JD and Asian Joe starts now.
Welcome to Conversation with the Big Guy, Ryback. I am the Big Guy, Ryback. And we're here, episode 125. Time is a flying by, and we got DDP, Diamond Dallas Page, joining the show in a little bit, and super excited for that one, as well as we got Ryan Satin with the Wrestling Report coming back here onto the show with Wrestling Sheet, and have a little discussion of pro wrestling. It's something that, you know, we stopped talking about it for a little bit here. And I think for me, it's a personal thing, too. With everything going on, you know, with my injuries and sometimes focusing on it. And it's always great. I understand a big portion of my audience. You guys, if not the majority of my audience, knows me from professional wrestling. And that is and always will be a big part of my life. So it doesn't necessarily, it was more of a personal thing, and I think it was, I just had to take a break for a little bit, and I never want to get into gossiping and things, but everyone has their opinions. I have mine, as we all do, on everything, and I know a lot of you look forward to hearing that, and so I'm really looking forward to getting Ryan Satin on here, and just having a little discussion about what's going on in the world of wrestling, and trying to give a little more balance to this show. And like I said, I enjoy doing the, with me, Asian Joe and JD, and that will return next week here. And I enjoy thoroughly doing that and whatnot. But I, you know, doing the interviews for the longest time, you guys heard me say I didn't want to do interviews, and I didn't. I had no interest in doing interviews during a certain portion of that time. And as time goes on, and we evolve, and this show, I would like to learn. I like having people that are more intelligent than me in different subjects, and just having great conversation with different people. And so I really, really look forward to doing the interviews each and every week now. And Diamond Dallas Page is a big one for us. So big thanks to him for coming on and whatnot. I'm deep into a fast, though, right now. I've got my stem cell procedure here. Monday, when you're listening to this, I'll probably be drugged up and going under for my 10th stem cell procedure on my back. It's been, I'm going to write about all this someday, and I've said that before in my book. And these have been truly, it's made me mentally tough and mentally tougher, I should say. But it's been challenging, and I don't think a lot of people don't understand. And I've said I was extremely injured when I left. That was almost, it wasn't the sole reason, but it was a reason why all the other reasons became more important to me at that time. And it was a blessing that it has. But it's been, man, if you would have told me from the beginning when I started the stem cells, it was either get the 5-disc fusion or in the shoulder replacement or sit back and let the stem cells work their magic and see what happens. And I didn't know it was going to take this many procedures, but it has. And I am at 37 years old. I feel better than I have in years. but I have a little ways to go. So I know a lot of you too on social media were asking, you know, why are you doing this 72-hour fast and why have you been doing these prolonged fasts? And it was because my doctor was the one that originally had put it in my head on the stem cell benefits of it between the 48 and 72-hour mark. And so I had to condition myself because, as you guys know, I love food. I love eating and I eat healthy and I love junk food from time to time. And but I love eating. The feed me more catchphrase is a real thing. And I had to adjust my entire way of thinking when I came across all this intermittent fasting stuff and realizing it doesn't burn muscle and it taps into body fat and you actually function and run extremely well. But the prolonged fasting, you got to condition yourself to a little bit. And this is, I'm into 50. I don't know what I'm at here. I'm about 90 minutes away from 48 hours, which would be my personal record. So it's, we're hoping that when the doctor and based off the research and everything from my doctor and others that I've read and came across, it's if you can, that 72-hour mark is where the stem cell production rapidly increases. And so when he goes in to extract my bone marrow from my hip tomorrow, for the stem cells, that there are a greater supply of them, essentially giving me a super procedure. So in this stuff is expensive and it's, I want to get the most out of it. So I'm very motivated. I'm very dedicated, to my health and to my body right now after putting it through what I did for many years and always strived to take care of myself, but I was doing moves that were hurting me and lifting extremely heavy weights, time and time again, injured, lifting heavy weights, and that stuff takes its toll on you. And I've luckily been given a second chance through the technology that we have. And we're close. I got my shoulder. I got to get a scope on my shoulder. There's multiple things wrong with my shoulder still that this different doctor than we used back before is going to be able to go in there and scope and repair the tears that exist. They don't need full-blown surgery, but I have, and I got to get my AC joint worked on. I believe they have to shave that down, I think was what was mentioned. And then I have quite a bit of large bone spurs in there that are hindering my movement a little bit. Remove all that, fix all the tears. That's on the 29th. And then February 11th, we're going in, we're doing the new stem cell procedure on my shoulder where they do all the old procedures that they did with the stem cells, but now they're injecting it also, I believe, into the bone. They are able to take stem cells and put it into the bone, so essentially the cartilage grows from underneath and the top, and it will speed up the cartilage growth even more. But that is, my shoulder is, I could function with that and do everything with that. The back was the main deal, and as far as for wrestling and getting that, because I don't want to end up in a wheelchair, and, you know, it's been a blessing, and I'm thankful, and I have a different outlook on things now that the pain has subsided. Back pain is no joke. And if you have back pain, I sympathize with you 100%. It changed me a little bit. And I don't do pain pills and, you know, things like ibuprofen was the extent of it, which I gave that up. We talked about on last week's episode on stopping ibuprofen. And it's, I'm grateful and truly thankful that I'm able to feel good again, because feeling bad sucks and it's no way to go through life. And I truly do sympathize with people that are in pain. And, you know, that's part of being a pro wrestler too, is you deal with pain and you know, that's something with DDP talks about pain management and doing the DDP yoga. And I'm actually thoroughly looking forward to starting that again here after I get all these procedures done and restarting that, because I got great results from that before, but and we'll talk about that later on with him. I do want to say for this show, guys, I'm really excited. We are now on Patreon. You could follow this show and you could subscribe at patreon.com/Ryback. Patreon.com/Ryback as the show continues to grow and evolve. And we're going to be giving you some different content on there that you could subscribe to. At tier 1, tier 2, and tier 3, we have tier 1 will be the uncensored. Obviously, we're trying to keep the podcast, the cussing down. a little bit, which we have edited out. It's for advertising, and I understand all that, and it's important. But we will be offering the uncensored show on Tier 1. Tier 2, it will be the tips of the week, will be offered in Tier 2, as well as the uncensored show. And then Tier 3, both of those, Tier 1 and Tier 2, and that will be ad-free if you would like to subscribe to that on patreon.com/Ryback and support the show. It is greatly appreciated on all fronts for that. Other news, I got my 10-count creatine is now on feedmemore.com, and it will be on Amazon any day. By the time this comes out, it could be uploaded to Amazon already. It's been shipped out, and as all the other Feed Me More Nutrition supplements are available on Amazon. And for you guys, it truly is greatly appreciated. I know it takes a minute out of your day, and I'm guilty of not wanting to ever do reviews, and I've tried to be more conscious of it for things that I truly do love and enjoy. But positive reviews on Amazon are greatly appreciated. It helps us tremendously on getting exposure for the product and for the brand. So if you could take a moment out of your day and leave a positive Amazon review if you like the supplements and they've helped you, it would be greatly appreciated. And it really, really does help us out here with Feed Me More Nutrition. And on that note, the podcast, if you iTunes reviews, guys, if we can get some more iTunes reviews, and as we continue to grow here, and we moved over to Libsyn, a new platform, and it is your reviews are greatly appreciated, helping us again get more exposure for the podcast and whatnot. And with that, I shout out as always to a wrestling historian on Instagram. Please follow him. Great guy, Larry Francis. He has helped this show out tremendously, getting these guests on, and we have more great ones coming. So a wrestling historian on Instagram, shout out to Warrior Massage Gun. I've used it every single day since I've left WWE. It has helped me greatly in my recovery, and they've hooked me up. They're sending me out their newest prototype. It's an even stronger massage gun, which I did not think was possible. But Warrior Massage Gun on Instagram, it's the real deal. It's legit. Check them out. And then Las Vegas, Vegas Skin and Beauty here in Las Vegas off Craig Road. They are hooking me up with a laser skin removal, and great staff friendly. And check them out if you need any beauty. What's the word? Maintenance, beauty maintenance done, man or woman. But I've one treatment. My body hair hasn't been growing back on one treatment. I got to go back here in February. So I'm looking forward to that. I think it's anywhere from 8 to 12, depending. But, I mean, on one treatment, my body hair has stopped growing. So that is much welcomed. That is a nuisance in my life, and I hate doing it. And as always, Zevia, the official drink of Conversation with the Big Guy. Zero-calorie soda sweetened with stevia. It has been a favorite of mine for years. They were a sponsor of this podcast early on, and we hope to have them back because I like promoting things that I truly love and believe in, and they've been a big help when doing the intermittent fasting. But with that, one thing I do want to touch on here before we come back with the wrestling report with Ryan Satin is focus and what we focus our energies on and our attention on. And it's something I've had to constantly improve on, and I'm very, as you know, positive minded, but negativity is a very real thing. It's something we all deal with and experience, and we have to confront, and it's okay to be negative. It's okay to have a negative conversation, but the key is to shift out of that as quickly as possible. And sometimes I found over the last couple of years, not on this podcast necessarily, but at times, just focusing on negative things that maybe just putting too much energy into it. And I realized it just came to a point. It was like an awakening, and I don't know what set it off. It was just what we focus on in having conversations that are negative, or if we're talking to somebody and it's a negative topic or it's a negative conversation, don't respond to it, because it's putting us in a mindset we don't need to be in. And it's something I had to really start being conscious of. And what our conversations are very important. What we decide to talk about are very important. And that's not to say we just talk in a positive, happy, everything's happy all the time world. That's not the case. It doesn't fucking exist. But the key is to not constantly, you know, if Our surroundings are who we become, and we have to be very conscious of that at all times. And that was something I'm really trying to be more aware of and have just focusing on what I can control in positive situations and things. And things aren't all roses all the time, and that's the truth of the situation. But if we can get out of that, just shift out of it, I always say just shift out of that negativity into a positive mindset as quickly as possible. And in switching topics or switching our focus onto something else, it will greatly help us. So if that's something you're experiencing in your life, you know, becoming aware of it is a major thing and a step in the right direction with that. And I think we're going to go ahead. We're going to take a quick little break here, guys, and we're going to be right back with the Wrestling Report with Ryan Satin. Stay tuned. You've heard us talk about Real Good Foods before on the podcast and just how much I love their Real Good pizzas and enchiladas. Now Real Good Foods also has their new poppers, which are a super low-carb cross between a chicken nugget and a jalapeno popper. All of their foods are low-carb, grain-free, gluten-free, and keto-friendly. Most items have as low as 3 to 4 grams of carbs per serving. From their chicken crust pizza, enchiladas, cauliflower crust pizzas, snack bite pizzas, and poppers, you can't go wrong with anything from Real Good Foods. All items are available at realgoodfoods.com, on Amazon, and in retail locations all over the country, with a store locator on their website. Save 10% with discount code RYBACK off of realgoodfoods.com. Real Good Foods. Feed me more. All right, we are back, and I'm excited. We have Ryan Satin joining us with the Wrestling Report for Conversation with the Big Guy. Ryan, what's going on?
Not much, man. This is one of the busiest weekends I've had in a while. There's a lot of wrestling news going on just in the past couple days that I've been working on, so I'm just busy.
I'm excited. Busy's always good, though, especially in your industry, so I know you're doing a lot of things, so I appreciate you making time for coming on the show. And wrestling is an important part of my life, always was and always will be. And I understand there's a lot of people that like having the wrestling on the show. So it is back. It's back in full force. And I look forward to what you're going to throw at me.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to hearing your opinion because, you know, the biggest story of the week is centered around wrestlers that have been asking for their release from WWE.
Okay.
And this is something you know very well. Yeah. and that's the main reason I was like, oh, man, this is the perfect time to start with Ryback here. So basically, we'll rewind a little bit. The first person to ask for their release was Mike and Maria Kanellis.
Okay.
A few weeks ago, Mike Bennett. And, you know, we first reported this on the site that Mike and Maria had asked for their release. He had been unhappy with the way he had been used. I'm not sure how much WWE you've been watching.
Watch it as much as I did. I cut it back, I was where they weren't being used nearly that well or that often.
Like at all.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Basically not at all. They were, you know, because shortly after they got signed in, I think it was 2017, I think it was like in the summer of 2017, they got signed, they came aboard, but then right after Mike announced that he had been addicted to pills,
yeah,
or to prescription drugs, and that he was kind of, you know, trying to get sober from that,
yep.
And then Maria got pregnant, and so they were both just off TV for a long time.
Bad timing with all that, too, is coming in and...
Very much so, yeah. Very much so, yeah, and so... Then they came back to 205 Live. They were starting to be used on the Cruiserweight show.
Okay.
But then that was like in November, and I think that fizzled out shortly after as well. And so basically I'm told that around that time, they went to management. Well, Mike went to management,
okay,
on their behalf and requested their release. They had a long talk with Triple H, and ultimately it was basically said that it wasn't going to happen. And
okay.
So they talked how they were going to work through it and kind of like try to talk them off the ledge a little bit, and they've moved on since. But then, you know, in my report, you know, because what I heard from multiple sources was that Mike asked for both of their releases, you know?
Okay. Which would make sense. I mean, they are married, and if one's going to leave, it's not unreasonable to think that. Yeah.
No, it's not a huge leap. And she's been very frustrated on social media complaining about how, you know, why wouldn't she use Mike on the show? Look at this guy. Why wouldn't you be using him and all that kind of stuff? But then,
which voicing your opinion on social media, I will say, and being a, in it, it doesn't, there's a fine line there of how far you go and what you say. And I always use this example of Yoshitatsu back in the day. There was, when Tenzai was coming back up, there was like Japanese heat somehow from a new Japanese talent coming. This is a real thing. And Yoshitatsu went on Twitter and like made a comment like about, I don't know, it's out there. Then I'm going to kick your ass, something. It's like, well, no, you're not, because creative can completely come up with something different for that next week, because you're not being used. He's getting the big push at the time, and he got squashed like a week later. So it's like, you got to be very careful. And it's not like a UFC fight, like, you know, I'm going to come kick your ass, blah, blah, blah. No, it doesn't work like that. Like, there are people in charge, and they go, nope, that is not the direction we are going. So you sometimes have to be careful.
You'll hear all the time too, like, about how, like, someone tried to kind of like shift the storyline a little bit via social media, and they go backstage like, no, that's not what we're doing. Follow the plan. Like, what are you doing? There's only a select few that can really do something like that.
Yeah, in a social media, man, you can get more trouble than good for it, I think, at times. And it has its purpose. The best is almost just to use it when they tell you to use it, as far as furthering a storyline. They used to hand me things of, like, actually, like a script to put on Twitter for certain matches and whatnot.
Wow.
And I remember the last time I did it is there, I was in the office, and they gave me the write up for, it was Elimination Chamber or something, and to promote the show. And there was like spelling errors in it. There was like one or two. And I remember thinking, like, I'm done with this. You guys just made me look like an idiot. People already think I'm dumb. Everyone dumb as Ryback. I was like, yeah. Like, I'm done. And I took my Twitter off the social media people, so they didn't have access to it. I go, screw you guys.
Yeah, because they will do it for the wrestlers, right? Like, they'll go in and do it for them, right?
They actually, yeah, man. That's not to get you off your topic, but I was the only one that didn't sign the thing back right before I left. They brought us into a room to sign off on giving them control over our social media. And my mind was already kind of made up, everything, and I was on my way out. But a lot, they have control over most people's stuff, and like, they could delete their accounts if they want. Nobody could do anything about it because they signed them over.
You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYN ads.com.
So,
I remember when that happened, because the DMs from wrestlers stopped coming as much. They stopped. Really? It was like, because they can't DM as much from their accounts.
Oh, yeah, because the people are looking. You have Big Brother watching
at them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Office,
yeah.
You're literally giving the office permission to watch over all your social media activity, which is very, very dangerous.
Yes, yeah, so the DMs dried up. I had to maneuver.
Should have reached out to the big guy. I could have messaged you all I wanted.
So Maria was complaining on social media, and I put the story up. But before I put the story up, because I try my hardest not to blindside people with articles on stuff like that. It's different when they put out something in the public sphere already, you know, like a tweet or an interview or podcast stuff. Like, that's different in my opinion. But like, when I'm going to break a story on someone, I really do try to reach out to them beforehand and give them some kind of heads up.
Yep.
Just in case there's something that's false about it, you know? Yeah. So, I reached out to Mike and Maria, and, you know, after talking with them, you know, kind of going back and forth a little bit, multiple times was told to me, like, we can't talk about it, you know, and I even kind of said, like, if it's not true, just tell me, because you're going to go on social media anyway if it's not true, and say it's not true, so just tell me now if there's something not true about it, and I won't run it. No comment. Okay. So I put the story up, and then shortly afterwards, like the next day, Maria went on social media, and she posted a thing on Instagram denying that she's the one that asked for her request. But like you said, it very much felt like a semantics thing. Like, obviously, Mike was speaking on their behalf, and it was felt that way from the office. They're a couple. They're married.
They're together on TV, essentially. Yeah.
They're a package deal. So, I mean, it's not like just Mike is asking for his release. And the way she worded it was very carefully, where it was like, I did not ask for my release. Okay. So, I feel like it's worth mentioning, but
So at the very least, but, though, yeah. but Mike did ask for his release. Yeah. It wasn't very granted. Much so. Okay. Makes sense.
Very much.
They're probably not letting a lot of people go right now, I'd imagine. So.
Nope. I mean, and I kind of understand why they wouldn't right now. I mean, there's a, you know, like they have
100%.
Someone who is, you know, biting at their heels a little bit, you know,
yep.
So it does make sense. They'd be like, well, no, we're going to let you cool off on the sidelines for a little bit.
No good business would start releasing people right now if competition is lurking and there's a lot of unanswered questions with that competition. They don't want to, they're going to hold on to everybody as long as they can. So.
Absolutely. And so then the other people who asked for their release, that was this week was when it happened, because Mike and Maria was a few weeks ago.
Yep.
But the other one was the Revival.
Yeah.
The Revival, so basically after their match on Monday Night Raw this week, they had a match against the Lucha House Party. And they, you know, basically it was a 6-minute match, and it was basically all used as a throwaway segment so that they could cut to the backstage.
Yep.
And show what was going on backstage outside of Vince McMahon's office. Then the match was over and they went to the back and they asked for their release from people backstage. And once again denied. It was said no. But I dug around a little bit. It took me a little bit of working on it, but I wanted to figure out like what the real, you know, the reason behind it was.
Yeah.
'Cause like you had a pretty big reason behind asking for your release. You felt pretty strongly in that statement that you put out when you asked for your release.
Yeah.
I was kind of wondering if there was a similar reasoning on their end. And theirs was very, you know, from what I've been told was very similar, not similar in the pay kind of structure to you, but I know that like they were firm in their belief that they feel like the tag division has just been completely destroyed on Raw. That there's just, it's just been wasted, that tag teams in general in WWE have just been treated with zero respect, and they kind of see that like there is no light at the end of the tunnel because there's no respect given to the tag division. There's not really feuds. There's no promos. There's no real angles with the teams. It's just kind of like a directionless division.
It's tough. And when you're there and you're doing the shows, and again, most of the wrestlers, and I've talked about this, is the live events are what you work for there, because the live events are where you're usually able to go out there as a performer and put in time. And get that your wrestling fix, so to speak. TV is a different ball game, and you got it's Vince's show. He's going to do what he wants. He's always done what he wants, and he has his ways, and it just trickles down from there. And it's when you go there, you have to understand that is what you are working for, one guy and what he wants. And it doesn't always even the top tier people. I mean, you're fighting week to week. I remember Shield guys, man, constantly every week having to go in there and try to change stuff because they were being written some pretty, like. But you got to be aware of that. You got to, and I've learned too from my experience there, Ryan. We all have a choice at the end of the day, and you got to go in there and Triple H talks about the game, and part of the game there is how much are you willing to fight for something and talk, and it is a very stressful thing week after week showing up. And you got stuff and you see, it becomes tiresome. You want to go stretch. You want to go eat. You don't want to sit outside. I had to sit outside Vince's office for hours sometimes to go have a conversation. One time with Kevin Owens to make sure it was on Raw. He was getting the better of me on something. And we were going into our program, which he was going over on the program already. And it was known. I think he already had the IC title and it was our rematch. And it was something where I fought. It took all day, Ryan, to get it written in for me to be able to go out there pissed off and boot him and powerbomb him in the ring to get one up on him going into the feud. And it took the entire day for that one thing that ultimately wasn't going to really have much of a, it was just to give the match a little bit more steam going into it. But it was stressful. So, and that's the other thing is these performers, and they're there. These guys love wrestling, and it's not always what you sign up for when you become part of the television product. And you got to fight tooth and nail to get things switched sometimes. And sometimes it's not worth the effort. And you get guys that become complacent and it becomes a paycheck and whatnot. And if you're not satisfied, and from the sounds of it, it looks like they're not satisfied with the wrestling portion of it. And I get it and I respect that. And it takes balls to go there and to speak up and ask for your release from a company that for most of us is all we ever wanted to do is work for this one place. And sometimes you get there and you realize it's not exactly what you thought it was. And there's a lot of parts of it that it are. There's a lot of great parts to it too. But if they I'll never knock anyone for doing what they feel, man. And if they're passionate about it and they love pro wrestling, and you know, and now when, I'm sure we're going to talk about there's other options popping up now for guys. And so I think it takes tremendous courage though to be able to do that, and especially at the show after your match and whatever. I was going to ask you if you knew what, if there was anything on, was it that particular match? Was it because it was a throwaway segment?
Actually, from what I was told, the actual boiling point was them realizing that, you know, even though they were having this tag match, the actual tag team champions weren't even on the show. Like, and they're like, well, that's how pointless and directionless this division is. Like, what are we fighting? Like, what are we doing this for? Like, the champions aren't even being featured in any way. Like, so, in my mind, like, we were talking to my friends this week, you know, on my other podcast, and on Wrestling Sheet Radio, my two co-hosts couldn't even remember who the tag team champions were for a minute. I mean, how directionless the division is right now. And I think the boiling point was really them realizing that, like, even if we get what we want here, what are we getting? You know, you mentioned All Elite. Well, you kind of, you know, referenced All Elite Wrestling a little bit with other options out there. And one of the things that was in the news week was Cody kind of mentioning that All Elite Wrestling isn't going to have writers, that the wrestlers are kind of going to be the ones that are kind of producing the show in a way, you know, like obviously that he's going to be executive producer from what I've heard, and there's going to be, you know, producers, but in terms of writing, there's not going to be like a team of people handing you what to say, like telling you the tiny little intricate things, that they're going to give you more of like an outline type thing. Do you think that's a better, you know, system, considering you had to wait, you know, all day to ask to powerbomb someone?
Yeah, no, and I don't think that's a bad thing at all. And I think, and I'm happy for Cody very much. I've known him a long time. And we used to sit around, man, in my studio in Louisville, Kentucky, a group of us, me, Cody, Timmy Baltimore, Fearless Jack Bull, Cliff Compton, Domino, smoke a bunch of shitty weed, Ryan. And I wasn't a weed guy, but I smoked it with them. And I'm going to tell you a little story, but we would sit and watch WWF or WWE Classics on Demand and talk wrestling. And hearing Cody, we'd come up with ridiculous gimmicks, and that's all we did for hours. And it was me. They would always order pizza. And I was like, I'm not eating that shit. And by the end of the night, I'd be so high, they'd leave the pizza in my apartment, and I'd eat the pizza every fucking night, Ryan. And they knew it. They would always leave me like four or five slices because they knew the big guy was going to cave in. I'd always say, take the pizza, guys, take the pizza. And then they'd leave it. But we'd always sit around and bullshit and talk wrestling. And Cody's always had a mind for it. And he gets, you know, I don't think that's a bad thing. Because when you have writers, and I don't think, in WWE is a business, and it's an entirely different structure. And they've evolved and they've changed and they have advertisers. It's just a different machine. It is not easy dealing with writers, though, going out and having, and I had many times for myself where they write you this stuff and you memorize it and then they change it. It's really, really, there's nothing more frustrating because it takes time to memorize that stuff. And then memorize it to try to say it how you could say it and not look like you have it memorized. That's an entirely different thing. And the longer it gets, the harder that gets and whatnot. So
I acted when I was younger, like as a kid, you know, like I tried when I was like early, you know, my 20s or whatever. But like just from going to acting school and stuff, like there is, like, it's not easy to do that just with that kind of stuff. I couldn't, and I have a week, let's say, to memorize something. I couldn't imagine just having, like, a few hours to memorize something and then have, like, a change brought in like that. That's not easy at all. No
man,
not.
It's stressful. And it you're better off with, like, I always equate this. This is what, for me, and for Vince, I was feuding with Cena. I came out on an ambulance to do a promo. And they changed the promo on me. It was multiple sheets. They changed it two or three times that day. And not even kidding, I was the opening segment. I had to get in the ambulance, and they had to drive me out there. I had to climb on top of the ambulance. 30 minutes before we go live, an opening segment on Raw, that I got to cut this promo on top of the ambulance. I finally got memorized because they changed it a couple times on me. Vince wants to see you. We're changing the entire promo. This is 30 minutes before Raw, and then they go in there, and it's the two writers, Dave Kapoor and what's the other guy? Ed Koski, yes.
That his name?
Yeah, and great guys. And they have the toughest job in the world. And they're in there, and whether this was a test or whatnot, it was in there, and they change everything, and they're giving Vince lines, and they're typing bullet points as Vince is sitting there. Then a thought would come to him, like sitting there, silence for like 5 minutes. We're all just sitting there looking at each other. You're waiting for Vince just to give his thoughts on what the next bullet point's going to be. They give me the fucking script, two pages of bullet points, before. 5 minutes before Raw goes live, I get out of the office. I'm looking at these lines. Like, there were some of the same things they had in the other ones. I'm like, holy shit. They're like, we got to go. They rush me to the ambulance. They throw me in the ambulance. They shut the doors. It's pitch fucking black in there. I got my phone trying to read. I hear feed me more fucking hit. I'm like, I don't have any of this. I literally just fucking throw the papers down. I've never been more angry. And I just talked about how much I hated the fans. And Vince loved the promo. Vince said that was my best promo to date. And that's when I realized, I was like, but it was pure emotion. That was my instincts just kicked in. And I knew you had, whether it was a great promo or a bad promo, but it was just on, that was on, as on the fly as it gets, man. But it's dealing with writers isn't always easy in dealing with Vince. So having wrestlers giving you material that understand the business, that will understand how they like going out there and feeling it and getting bullet points, I think it's a good thing. And I think all offering an alternative way to the system of WWE is not a bad thing.
You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYN ads.com.
No, not at all. I mean, you know, I did a video on my YouTube channel where I was talking about people that I wanted to see in All Elite Wrestling. I mentioned you as one of them, and then I got flooded with just like, oh, what, Ryback? But I would like to see it. Is that something that interests you, going to All Elite Wrestling?
So I think before I have to get healthy. And like, I got I'm fasting right now for 72 hours. I got another stem cell tomorrow on my back, number 10. And then my shoulder scope on the 29th, and then another stem cell on my shoulder on the 11th. I fucked up. That was, people don't.
Yeah.
So that was, I talked about this. When I first left, and you said, like, I asked them to let my contract run out initially, and it was met negatively, where they were going to job me out, pull me off TV, then fire me. So that's when I kind of took things into my own hands. And I wrote the thing on pay. I raised a question on equal pay. That was for the wrestlers. That wasn't for me. I turned down a multi-million dollar deal. Like, you know, it wasn't for me. I was hurt, and I needed to let my body heal, and I didn't realize it was nearly as bad as what it ended up being. And I'm being given a second chance, and I'm really grateful for it. But my focus is getting entirely healthy, because I would be lying to you if I said I walked away from WWE with a purpose, and I wanted to do some other things, but it was the pain that I was in that led me to walking away. I never would have left if I wasn't in pain. That was, but I feel like I would be lying if I said deep down there's some unfinished business. I'm not happy with the way that I left. But that was a culmination of a lot of different conversations when I walked out. I'm a very loyal person too. And I've always been, that is something I've always taken pride in myself. But with that said, business is business, and I would be open to discussing things with any promotion. But like I said, when I left, and people always said, why didn't you go to this? Why didn't you go to that? I'm very protective of my brand and my name and what I left with, and not ruining that somewhere else either, because I know what I could walk back into if I do it right. I know.
No, that makes perfect sense. Yeah, no, that makes perfect sense. I mean, how long, you know, let's say, estimate, how long do you think you could potentially be back at 100%?
I think it's going to depend on how I feel after these procedures. Like, so I can tell you right now, and I feel, if I wanted when I left, I could have signed with somewhere and really tried to push myself. I was really fucked up. My leg was atrophying. My arm was atrophying. They told me I needed 5 discs fused and a shoulder replacement. So, but people lose, they don't hear that part of it. And they just, they see this other stuff, and I need to get healthy, like, to be able to function, so I'm not in a wheelchair. If I would have went and did that and tried to push myself or create any buzz, I would have been retired.
Yeah.
This has been and I've had to be patient and listen to a lot of shit from people. And it's like, I'm almost the light is at the end of the tunnel. I do think I think after these procedures, I should know probably in around March how I'm feeling and whatnot.
Right.
And but I am prepared. If I need to take another year, I'll take another year at the end of the day. Like, I would rather do that and have a shot at coming back at 38 next year and being completely healthy to push myself like I really need to be able to do to be able to be competitive. And like, and because I don't want to be less than what I was before, and I want to be better and whatnot. So it's been, I need to get, the stem cells have taken a lot of time. I was really fucked up. So, and it's been mentally really tough and whatnot, but I talk about it on the show, and sometimes there's misinformation that's put out there, and I just want to get healthy so I don't end up in a wheelchair, essentially. And
yeah, no, I mean, yeah.
I don't disappoint my fans. I don't want to come back and not be what I was. And I know where I have to be physically. My back is really close. So this should be the final procedure on my back. And the shoulder I could function with. But if my back is going to be what they tell me it's going to be after this super procedure, I think I'm going to be all right to return fairly this year if I can. So.
Yeah, and back stuff is no joke. Like you said, you don't want to be in a wheelchair. I mean, like, as much as you love wrestling, you love walking, you know?
Yeah, no, and not being in pain. And I talked about it earlier on this podcast. Just, I sympathize with people with back pain. And it's scary, man. And I talked to Diamond Dallas Page here coming up, and he was talking about his back a bit, and he had two discs. I was like, I had five, L1, 2, 3, 4, and 5 from that backpack stunner that were completely destroyed. And it wasn't anything else, because Ryback doesn't bump that much or this and that. But there's a lot people don't see. I was working Big Show, Mark Henry, and Kane on live events majority. That I was bumping a hell of a lot more than I normally did when I worked other guys and whatnot, and picking them up every night and then doing that backpack stunner with the other guys. And I learned
that was really what it was, the backpack stunner.
Because it's just pure compression on your back. Think about it. You got 200-something pounds on your back. I'm the one taking it. And you look at Hogan with the leg drop, and Austin with his back and stuff too with the stunner, the ass bump is the one.
Bella too when she was hurt.
The ass bump is the one bump. The energy can only go one place, I tell people, and it travels up your spine and it compresses your disc. That's what the Ember Moon girl, I fear for her later on, because she's doing the stunner off the top rope, taking that ass bump with that impact. I did it for 10 years and didn't feel anything, and then finally just started waking up with back pain. So it's... I quit doing that move. I think the last time I did that move was on an independent show, probably 2 years ago. And I remember my back hurt. It was the pain. I got to the hotel room and I just said, "I go, what am I doing, man? What the fuck am I doing?" Like it was like the awakening for me. But yeah, man. I think once I'm completely at a point health wise, I will focus on what I want to do pro wrestling wise. But like I've said, I'm very protective of the name and the brand, and I left at a certain level, and I could go back at a higher level if it's done right and not ruining that. And not to say signing anywhere else would ruin that, but just deep down there is unfinished business still. And I think, and I get with my fans and everything. So
I'm of the same belief, you know, to be honest with you, like I'm of the belief that you did reach a certain level to where you can take your time, and if done right, it would be impactful. Because I know I'm not the only one that feels like it went awry. It went different than it should have, you know?
It doesn't feel right, right? It doesn't feel right.
No.
But at the same time, I wouldn't be who I was if it didn't. And it could serve a greater purpose later on. So, but I get fan mail, and it kills me when I get stuff from kids, man, and adults, and they say the same thing. And it's like, you got to do it for your own reasons, but it's like deep down, it's like, okay, I'm not the only one that thinks this. So it's
no, dude. And the people that are listening can call me a mark all they want, but like, I'm also a fan. Like, I might cover wrestling, but I'm also a fan.
Yeah.
And at that time, you know, I didn't run my own wrestling website. I was covering news, but I wasn't just, you know, only covering wrestling. And I always felt that way about it. Like, I felt really bad. I remember being so mad at how it all played out when the streak was going on.
You very much. But it's all for the best. And you like it's
part of the journey.
Yeah, yeah. And it will, like, everything I have in my life is because of that. That's what motivated me, man, to learn and start reading more and listening to the audiobooks about business, because I realized some stuff was going to be out of my control. So it's like, now I have all this, And if hopefully, and you can go back and learn from past mistakes and whatnot. So it's all you could do is learn and grow, man, and evolve from it. And who knows, the story may, it all may wrap around and tie together someday. Who knows? And if it doesn't, it doesn't. But
yeah, no, I look forward to seeing where it goes. But I also much more want you to be able to walk. So, it's amazing sometimes, you know, like the wrestler mentality of like, no, I got to be out there. Like, not everybody thinks that way. Like, there are so many people that get so caught up in the bubble that they're like, no, I'm going to work through this injury because I have to.
Well, we all do it. And there just comes a point where, like, I came to a point where financially I was comfortable enough, and where you look at things and you just get sick of being in pain. I was in pain for my last 2 years there. And it's just not, I was getting shots and things, and the cortisone ate away all my cartilage. And it comes a point where I was like, I got to get away from this, or I'm going to end up like all the old timers. And it was, and I'm grateful I've been able to learn from them and their mistakes and what they had to go through, because they had it different than we had it and whatnot. And I'll probably have another chance to do this right. But that's wrestlers, we lie to ourselves a lot too. And part of being a wrestler is you got to be in pain all the time. No, you don't. Not if you do it. If you want to do your best not to be in pain, and we're all going to have nagging injuries, but you don't want to have, I wasn't dealing with a nagging injury anymore. I was dealing with, like you said, walking or being in a wheelchair eventually, or being hunched over. And
well, I find it amazing that Chris Jericho, and this is the last one I'll bring up since we went way over time or whatever, but like, I'm amazed with Chris Jericho at his age that he's never been injured in wrestling, he says. And now, you know, like, he signed with All Elite Wrestling, and one of the other big stories of the week was that he said that prior to signing with him, with All Elite Wrestling, that he actually almost did sign with Impact.
Yeah.
That they presented a pretty big offer to him that he was pretty happy with. He was happy with the opponents they had lined up for him, like Sami Callihan, Brian Cage, Rich Swann. I'm leaving out one more person, but they had like a solid slate of people. He was willing to go there. He was thinking about going there. Obviously, he's friends Don Callis. He's friends Scott D'Amore. He helped them get the job there. And he was actually thinking of going, but then the All Elite Wrestling offer came in, and he says that it was the best contract offer he's ever been offered in his entire career.
Right, yeah.
Yeah. And that's, man, for his age and someone like Rey Mysterio, too. I don't know if you saw SmackDown this week, but I mean, Rey Mysterio and Chris Jericho, it's insane. Like, you can't tell that they're performing the level they performed when they were 20 years old. It's crazy to me.
Yeah, and I know Jericho, because I talked to him before, and with his, because he's a big proponent of the DDP yoga, and because he had a back injury, but he was gone during that period, I think.
Yeah.
It fixed whatever was wrong, and that was kind of it. Other than that, he hasn't had anything, but when you look at a guy like, it's weird how this happens. Some guys, like Christian, went the majority of his career and didn't have any injuries, and then all of a sudden, it just started one after the other, kind of at the end, and like, it's weird. It affects different guys.
Well, I think because of that, like what you're saying there, I think it's kind of smart that Chris Jericho signed with All Elite Wrestling as opposed to going back to WWE, where he might have to be on a full-time schedule and all that kind of stuff at certain times. I mean, this one is a thing where he can strategically pick big money matches and promote them and not have to necessarily knock off time from his in-ring career.
And I do think that is smart also, because the full-time WWE schedule is no joke. It controls your entire life, and you don't have time for much else. You really don't. And I think I'm curious to see with All Elite Wrestling, with them being Cody and the guys, the Young Bucks, the schedule that they do eventually, because everything's in the creation phase still. And I know they have the show coming up here and whatnot, but like, as far as television, there's a lot of unanswered things that will probably come out in the upcoming months and whatnot. But I'm curious on the schedule as well, because that's one thing. And I remember reading this in Bob Backlund's book. He talked about working for Vince Sr. and the schedule was easier than when Vince Jr. here took over, started doing double shots and kind of making, the guys were working a lot more. This job eats away at your body and it tears your body down. And doing it 4 or 5 days a week is a lot year after year after year, week after week, year after year and whatnot. So, and I don't know what from a business standpoint, it makes sense to do that, right? But when your business makes money from human bodies, kind of alters that a little bit, where you kind of have to have a little bit of just got to look at it a little differently there.
Yeah, but that's partly why they've got this so many. Now they got two performance centers. They've got one in the UK and one in Florida. So I think that's why they're stockpiling so many wrestlers.
Factory
in both
line
performance
of wrestlers
centers.
To like, and the brand is they've created the brand, and the brand is strong. Where you could but you could do that for a while. But I think I'm curious to see what the schedule they come in. I think Chris is extremely smart. He's always done extremely well for himself. He keeps himself busy when he's not with WWE doing other things. And I've always admired that about him. And I remember talking to him. I was actually, when he wrote his book, I was thinking of writing my book. And I go, give me any tips, just kind of how you organize getting started. And he kind of just told me a few things, and it really helped me into getting that process started. He's an extremely intelligent man, and nothing but good things to say about him. So I think it's good for him at this stage of his career. You know, Ray chose to go back. I know Ray had a bunch of stem cell procedures too on his knees. And the stem cells work so well. I think they rejuvenated him. And he's like a young version of himself again.
It's crazy. You know what? I didn't even think about it, but that has to be what it's from. Because he really is. I mean, he wrestled, you know, after leaving WWE and stuff. But just like in the past year, it's been like a whole new Rey Mysterio again.
Well, he told me. I talked to him at one of the independent shows, Northeast Wrestling, that I did. Last year, and we were talking about stem cells. He was telling me all the ones he's had on his knees, and they've completely, I'm not going to say they've made his knees 100%, but it rejuvenates your body. So it's like,
that's crazy.
You got the brain of Rey Mysterio now with the body of 10, 15 years ago. That's what I'm hoping for when I come back. So minus all the cool.
But now you're smart instead of all the stupid chants.
Yeah. Well, Ryan, thank you very much for joining us. I really enjoyed this. Is there anything you'd like to go ahead and plug to wrap this up?
Just check out my website, prowrestlingsheet.com, where you can check out stories that we put up every week. Like I said, I try very hard to focus on fact-checked content. You don't got to pay any money, but there's exclusive stories on there when I get them. We've also got a YouTube channel, youtube.com/C/wrestlingsheet. That's where we do the Raw and SmackDown recaps every week. It's on video as well, so you can watch me and John Rocha talk about Raw and SmackDown. You can watch Wrestling Sheet Radio on Thursday nights, where it's myself, Jamie Iovine, and Elijah Bates, where we talk about the top stories of the week as well. Just go check us out at Wrestling Sheet on social media as well. I'm at Ryan Satin.
Good deal. And guys, we'll be right back with our Diamond Dallas Page interview. Stay tuned. It's the Big Guy Ryback with Feed Me More Nutrition. And I just wanted to say thank you guys for another great year. We started the brand with 3 supplements, and we're now getting ready to release our 7th supplement, our 10-count creatine. We just released our GTS Go to Sleep high-powered sleep aid, so if you have a difficult time falling asleep or staying asleep, check out our all-natural GTS sleep aid available on feedmemore.com and Amazon. Speaking of feedmemore.com, we have all new domestic shipping rates. No shipping over $9.99 domestically anymore, with rates as low as $4.99. We want to be more competitive, and as a thank you guys for being loyal customers, offer you the best shipping rates we possibly can. So if you guys haven't checked out Feed Me More Nutrition, now's your chance. We are a premium all-natural supplement company that gives you safe, natural formulas that get results. FeedMeMore.com and Amazon. Get hungry. Stay hungry. Feed Me More. All right, we are back, and this week, I say it every week, I'm excited for this week's guest, but this is a very, very special guest. He is doing a lot of great things. He's a former world champion, multiple-time world champion wrestler, fitness instructor / yoga master, motivational speaker, author, and he's changing lives daily, Diamond Dallas Page. What's going on, man?
Changing the world, baby. Changing the world.
It is it's incredible what you're doing, and just meeting you over the years.
Just getting back from New York.
Yeah, that was what you've had a crazy day. You just got off a flight here. You've been doing, you said, 3 days straight here. This is getting towards the end of it, right?
Yeah. Every morning I was up, and you hear me okay?
I can hear you good, loud and clear, yep.
Okay, cool, yeah. I've been doing that 7 in the morning till 8 at night PR role. Like, you've been part of it before.
Oh, yeah.
But when you're launching a book and You know, you when you don't have that primetime TV, it's a little bit harder to get booked. But I got booked on a lot of radio, a lot of podcasts. It was literally nonstop. And, you know, now with the social media, because there's so much out there, I mean, you go to Fox, they've got Fox Digital, the YouTube stuff. I mean, it's countless the stuff that you can be doing. And for me personally, my company doesn't even exist without social media.
Same here. So, it has helped me tremendously. And man, you know how to hustle. And you're a great role model for this for me, actually, with everything you've done. And you got your book, Positively Unstoppable. You were kind enough to send me a copy of it. And I'm reading it now. I actually don't like doing ebooks, and I'm about 140 pages in. It hasn't bothered me one bit reading it off my phone. It's the book is that good, and it is highly recommended. And man, I got to say, you're legit, because you're one of the guys. Sometimes I tell people you grow up, and I hate it when people tell me I'm feeling old now when people say I grew up watching you, because I'm meeting some 17 and 18 year olds that were 12 and 13 when they first watched me, but. Guys that I grew up watching, and you were one of them, and had great influence on me. And then turns out meeting you, you're an even greater guy. So it's always good to, for me personally, because it hasn't always been the case with some of them. And it's you're doing great things, and your book is no different, Positively Unstoppable. And it's I'm happy I know you.
Man, it's funny because a lot of people probably don't know how much our history goes back for where you'd taken that. Well, what did you do to your ankle? You like literally tore your tibia or something? I can't remember exactly what the injury was.
So that was in Hawaii during the Nexus in 2010. Me and David Otunga were slotted to win the tag titles in wrestling the Hart Dynasty. And taking a comeback from Tyson Kidd, I had a pair of wrestling boots that were too narrow. And I got drop kicked and my ankle rolled over and ripped out in three places. I popped right up and we did an entire bump and feed comeback for a little over a minute, and we did the finish, and but my spiral broke my leg all the way to my knee by running on it and doing everything. And man, it was one of the key moments in my life. But that was one of those trying times where I mentally became much stronger that year and a half.
Well, I remember you telling me about that, and like you're asking me, you know, about the program, and you really thought it could help you. And, you know, it's like, for me, a lot of the guys, it's all about doing it when you're not hurt.
Yeah.
You know, that's why I love being down there at NXT with all those kids down there, because they literally, as little kids, grew up with me.
Yep.
So it even gives you a much stronger effect on people when, you know, they got to see you. Yeah, right. And then they see you, and they see me at 62. I'll be 63.
You look great, man. I've seen you. You don't age. You're the Benjamin Button of professional wrestling.
hold on, I gotta tell my wife this story. Do you ever see the movie Benjamin Button, Brent?
No.
It's where Brad Pitt gets younger as he gets older, and Ryback just called me the Benjamin Button of wrestling. There's so many things. Like I know at some point you're going to come through Atlanta, and I want you to stay with me. I want you to see what we've got here from our DDP Yoga Performance Center. But I've taken it to a different level. I just bought another house, the house that we shot the Resurrection of Jake the Snake in. You know, I called it the Accountability Crib.
Yep.
I kept that home, and I have, you know, I have the making it an Airbnb. So I've got the Jake the Snake Roberts suite. I've got the Razor Ramon suite and the DDP suite. And any of the boys who come through, if they need a place, whether they're working independence or whatever, I let them stay there for nothing. Anybody could rent the room, though. And we've got memorabilia, like pictures, everywhere. My wife, Brenda, had to put up 800 pictures. Like, dude, you go into Scott's room, and it's all, you know, all the great shots that a lot of people have never seen.
Yep.
And, you know, and then stuff, you know, all the way through his career and Jake's and mine. And then we've got the Hall of Fame stairway with all of us on it and stuff. And it's you know, pictures from when we were in the house and what we were doing. So it's a really cool experience for people. So anybody's listening, you want to come in and get an Airbnb, Yeah, we're right there in Smyrna, which is 20 minutes from literally everything in Atlanta.
Yep.
But I bought this new house, and it is a place where I am looking to work with top-tier athletes, and mainly the guys who may have some back issues,
yep.
You know, but knee coming back from a shoulder injury, a knee injury, hip injury, and not, you know, they still do the rehab that they use to get out of the rehab, but a lot of times, like, they're not done. And yep. So that's where I pick up the ball and start working with them. And I honest to God believe, like, the stuff that I can still do at, you know, 2 months from 63, if someone can just do, and I'm talking about professional athletes, mm-hmm. can do what I could do, and 90% of those professional athletes cannot do it.
Yeah.
And if I can do this, what could one of those guys do? You know,
yeah.
You know, one of the football players, basketball, you know, at the bottom line is my goal is to be that guy that gets the call for when this, I'm really looking for one of those running backs that used to run for 800, 900,000 yards,
yep.
That now, because of injury, you know, he's running for 150, you know, yards the whole season.
Yeah.
And maybe he's got one more year on his contract. And that's a guy, like, if I can grab that guy and he has my work ethic, you know, because you can get another year in the league, it could be worth $3-5 million.
Absolutely. And, man, you know, that's stretching is something. I remember being younger and looking at people stretching and just thinking, whatever. And I think we have all this information, and we've seen it with your program and the amount of lives that you have dramatically changed, dramatic results. And these are just regular everyday people, but taking somebody like an athlete, an elite athlete, I sometimes think stretching is overlooked in yoga and these things. And I know personally, it helped me tremendously with my ankle injury and my back early on, because I was always dealing with nagging injuries, but it helped me with my balance more than doing all that. And just, if you could get an elite athlete with the skill that a lot of these guys have and just change their mindset on stretching, which I feel like you better connect with men, obviously, than others. And like, you know, just from your professional wrestling career and everything. And I think if people see you doing it and seeing the success stories, which that one reason to read the book is for the success stories, I think, because if you can't find motivation from that, I don't know what the hell else can motivate you. But if you could do that with these people, man, I'd love to see you get a 2,000-yard rushing running back and see what you could do with them.
And I'll tell you, bro, since me and you had worked together and you had done the DVDs, like, now I've taken it to a different level. I know I just got you reset up with the app so you can see it.
Thank you.
But now the stretching is important. But where yoga part is really about the stretching, where I've really added in the dynamic resistance, yep. or time under tension, is now it's the stretching and strengthening of the muscles, ligaments, and tendons so that your body can take that punishment and bounce back.
Yeah.
And maybe you won't have that injury. Like, there were so many injuries in the NFL. I mean, you literally could watch a game, and, like, we're going to see the NFC Championship, AFC Championship, you know, this Sunday, and bottom line is there's going to be five guys go down, like, out
no
for
doubt.
The season.
Yep.
You know, and when it comes right down to the, you know, the Super Bowl, the team, because they're all great right now, any one of these teams could end up winning the Super Bowl. But it's going to come down who has the least injured players.
Yep.
That's what going to come down to. So, you know, I what's really great is when I was on Joe Rogan's show, it, like, exploded.
Yeah.
Like, it gave me, because he really, him and I got along incredibly. And
I love that guy.
Oh, man, he's amazing. And he thinks, I mean, I think exactly the way he does it on the outlook of life.
Yep.
And, you know, we bonded big time. And he ended up, you know, having Jake come on too. But he literally gave me credibility at a different level with people.
Yeah.
And I got a call from Brooks Reed, who is one of the linebackers for the Atlanta Falcons. And he asked to come and work with me. And then I was at a thing for Randy Couture right here in Atlanta, where he's bringing athletes who are retired, professional football players who are retired, and retired armed forces. And because, you know, when you're, what's really interesting and to really get a player to understand when you're making, you know, $1 million, it's kind of bottom end right now. Yeah, you know, you're making $1 million bucks or $1.2 million or 2.5 or whatever that is. When your career is over because you took that injury, like that money's gone. And the chance of you ever getting to that spot again is really like catching lightning in a bottle.
Astronomical, absolutely. Again. Yep.
You know, any kind of professional thing. Like, we're lucky, me and you are lucky, because what we did transcended into independent shows, which ended up blowing up.
Yeah.
But, you know, if you're a big name, you can make a hell of a spot and make, you know, still make a hell of a living. And that's also the yin and the yang, because it's hard to walk away from it.
Oh, you know, the hardest thing I ever had to do was walking away from all of that. But it saved my career, and I was really hurt. But man, it's not easy. Not leaving in your prime at that too, not easy at all.
No, it isn't, because you know it's almost like stripper money.
Yeah.
Like girls who are strippers, like they want to get out of that.
Yeah.
But the money's too insane.
Yep.
So you know, for us in what we do, again, we're lucky because you know it isn't, you know, real. But it's real.
It is,
but
yeah,
it's
yeah.
not.
Yep.
No, it's real to us. I mean,
the pain.
You can't
fake. No, you're spot on that. It's. I always say, you know, joke around about fake fighting, but it is the most intense fake fighting in the world, and the move, it's predetermined, and we talk about that, and that's out. Cat's out of the bag, but the moves, and you know, I did that backpack stunner for 10 years with the guy on my back, and it compressed 5 discs. My discs were almost non-existent. Like that. That's real. You can't fake that, you know. So
I'm losing you.
Yep.
You know, did you hear me now?
I can hear you now.
Losing you. I always say you can't fake gravity.
I got that in your book. Yep. And that was, I was going to ask you about that with the yoga being.
Wait, right back.
Yep.
I am now branding everything DDPY. Why? Because I want to get people to stop calling it just yoga. Because, you know, I didn't develop this for yogis.
Yeah.
Ever. I developed it for us. I developed it for military,
yep.
firemen, cops, guys who have real, you know, real jobs for a living, like iron workers, you know, bricklayers, carpenters, guys who use their body, independent of their body, to make a living. And so now DDP yoga, it'll always be DDP yoga. But DDPY. If people will call P90X, they'll call it DDPY. Because the funny part is 99% of the people out there have no idea what P90X even means.
Absolutely. Yeah, no, I get it. And branding is everything, man. And I think that's something about you, too, that I saw in reading your book that, man, it's so inspirational. And having my business now with Feed Me More Nutrition and all that, it's an inspiration to see. But in your book, you talk about, you know, if you would have stopped at the 8-year mark, you know, I think you said it was at 10 years is when it finally really started.
Right.
In just having patience. And I tell it, it's just day in and day out. It's doing the work and enjoying the process. And for me, and I think this has helped me a lot, too. And I've taken this approach from the beginning is reading in your book. And I love seeing this is you answering emails and the customer service and just being a good person and helping people. And I think that's helped me a lot with this, too, because I've taken that approach and I do other things as well. But I think if you keep that mindset, it just makes it all works out, man. And you help, whether you're helping 100 people or 1 million people, as long as your heart's in the right place and you love what you're doing, great things are going to happen over time. But patience, and you were patient, man. And you finally, and it hit, and I feel like it hasn't even come close to what this is going to be.
It's, you know, I could feel it 9 years ago before it ever hit. I was talking to Brian Alvarez on Meltzer's, one of Meltzer's channels.
Yep.
And I'd known him since he was a kid. And he said to me, so, DDP, where is, at that time it was called YRG. Same thing, different name. And he said, so where is YRG 5 years from now? Now, this is before Hall of Fame. This is before the Cauliflower Alley Hall of Fame.
Okay.
And he said to me before, and you know, before the company blew up, he said to me, "So where is YRG and DDP 5 years from now?" And I said, "I'll tell you, Brian, I honestly believe at some point my DDPY program is going to overshadow my wrestling career." Yeah. And he went, "Wow." And at the time, that was a bold statement.
Absolutely.
It was actually ridiculous, you know. And he said, "You know, dude, that's a pretty bold statement." And I said, "Yeah, man, but I see it. And I've seen some of the transformations." And at that time, Arthur was, you know, the disabled veteran.
Arthur Borman, his, yep.
Yeah, like that. People know his name.
Oh, yeah.
You know, because it was just so unbelievable what he did.
Is he the most incredible story you've seen personally with all this?
Ever.
Yeah.
I mean, not question on my stuff, but show me one on anything that's more impressive than that.
I would agree with that.
You know,
yeah.
You know, we can track his video. Like, on our site, it's got 13 million for YouTube because it's peaked out at like 11 million on YouTube. But if you take it on Facebook and how many times it's gone viral, it's more like half a billion.
Yeah, that is. it's hard to watch that and not have a tear go down your eye as a man, even. Like, it is. You feel it and you can see it and you can see, man, in pictures, just tell such a story, and you can see the unhappiness, and you can just see the transformation as he's going along, and it's like you see that, and it's a, and then you see all these other success stories in the book that you have in there, and it's just like, man, it's the sky's the limit with this thing. And just, but changing your mindset and just making that decision to that you're going to change your life one day at a time,
you know. And the whole thing with Positively Unstoppable, the art of owning it. Like, it is whatever you want it to be.
Yep.
And sometimes it's so hard to believe it. I saw a quote the other day that Winston Churchill said, and he said, "Success is moving from failure to failure without the lack of enthusiasm."
Yep.
Like, that's powerful. And I look back at my entire journey with my program, and I can tell you, man, people have walked up to me, you know, at different times in my life and said, "You know, I've been hearing you talk about this program for 10 years. And this is years ago, because I've been talking about it for 20.
Yeah.
But 10 years ago, people coming up to me and going, "You know, it's not bullshit. Like, you can't be this enthusiastic about something that doesn't work." I did an open house at my DDP Yoga Performance Center in Atlanta two Saturdays ago. And I had a lot of people there because it's right after the new year. And people had seen that video of that guy who was 475 pounds. His name is Lance Hines.
Yeah.
Did you get a chance to see that video that went crazy viral?
I don't know if I've seen the Lance one yet.
Okay. The Vance is Vance. V-A-N-C-E. Okay. The Vance's video. I'll come back to that in a second. So, God, I forgot where I'll stick with Vance. So, I was on Twitter, and I answer my own shit, man. Like, and I might feed like one after another, and I'm sending inspiring things or tweeting and retweeting with a quote and blah blah blah. And I've had people go, "DDP, come on, man, you're blowing up my feed." I say, "Hey, dude, I'm not doing this for you.
Yeah.
Stop following me."
We all have the option to look away.
It's right. Just stop following me.
That's, we all focus on the wrong things 90% of the time. It's just like, just move on. You're helping people. The ones that want to see it can see it. It's so free. They can have the choice to move on. There's nothing to complain about.
So, yeah, it'll be over in a second. Just breathe.
Yeah.
But I saw this, someone had tweeted about Bert Kreischer. Do you know who Bert is?
I love him. He's one of the funniest humans to me. I've seen him.
No, me too. Yeah. Me too, dude. And so I wasn't following him, but someone said, "Hey, Bert, you should have DDP on your podcast." And he wrote back and he was like, "I'd love to have DDP on my podcast." So I go, "I got to follow Bert." So I go to follow Bert and I see this video of this guy. And he's big, bro. He's over 475 pounds.
Ooh.
And he's got his shirt off. And he's videoing himself. And he's saying, "Bert Kreischer, you have made me get off the couch, you know, because what had happened, Bert does this thing with Joe Rogan every October. They call it Sober October.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of watching
right. that. So this year, or I should say last year, Vance had, was watching, and Bert said that he was going to run a half marathon out of nowhere. And then Rogan and the boys are like, fuck you. You're not running no half marathon. Well, the son of a bitch did it. You know, and when Vance saw that, he put that video camera out on him, and he it started out with just his face, which filled up the whole screen.
Yep.
And he said, Bert Kreischer, you inspired me. If you can run a half a marathon, I can get off the couch and walk around the block. So
that's incredible. So he goes, the influence that social media and it allows us, and I think that's important what you touched on, that you respond to people. That's so important in this day and age, and having interaction and communication with your fans and the people that are following us and reaching out to us. We have a direct link to be able to help them. And if we look at it that way, we can do incredible things with it. So.
Absolutely. So I see him later. He'd probably lost about 15 pounds by that time, you know, going on walks with people and, you know, making it around the block twice and, you know, and just, and he's chronicling everything. Where I see it on the feed, he's got his shirt off and he's this massive dude. And he says, Bert, you inspired me to start moving. I'm moving. I'm down 15 pounds. I'm 7 weeks into this. And I just want to thank you for getting me on this path. So I'm like, wow, this guy is putting it all out there. And most importantly, and something I talk about with Positively Unstoppable all the time, he's putting the work in. Yep. So I reached out to him, and he wasn't following me. So I just tweeted him on regular Twitter. And I said, hey, Vance, you know, it looks like you're putting the work in. If you want some, you know, some guidance, I'll help you out. And I said, DM me. So he DMs me and he says, I'm sorry, but I have no idea who you were. I'm not a wrestling fan. But my Twitter feed lit up when you put that, you know, reached out to me, and people said, man, if you don't take DDP's help, you're out of your mind.
Yeah.
So I used to say no to everything. I'm now learning to say yes to other people's help.
Yeah.
I will definitely take your help. So I tagged him back, give me your phone number. So I call him up, and I have a list, and I talk about it all through, you know, Positively Unstoppable. I have a list of things you need to do if you want me to help you. And it's all the stuff on the app. Take the pic, you know, do your weight, take the pictures, take the measurements, do your pain index. Like, show me all these numbers, because I'm going to help you drop those numbers. And as you drop those numbers, your confidence is going to rise. You're going to feel more. You're going to feel better about yourself.
Absolutely.
You're going to want to do the stuff that I'm showing you. So let's track where you start. And then it's watch movies. Like, it's watch Food Inc., Genetic Roulette, GMO, OMG. Because that's basically, when someone's that big or that much overweight, they need to tell themselves what they need to stop eating.
Yep.
And I need to educate them. And once they watch those movies, those documentaries that you'll never see on national television, yep, NBC, ABC, CBS, you'll never right. see it on Fox, you'll never see it on cable, because how could you see those documentaries when you got a Papa John's commercial next to a Doritos commercial? Yep.
We gotta retrain our minds, man. We've been taught wrong on food for many, 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 many years. With business and everything, and people, we have the tools to help people now on a mass level, and you got to re-educate the mind. But anybody could do it. But they got to want to do it too, you know?
No, dude, if they got, you first got to get that want, then you got to get them to where they start. They got to set their goals. And Vance is, you know, for him, he wanted to lose 100 pounds first. Okay. You know, he wanted to get into 300s. Like, that was a big goal for him. In 1 year, I worked out with him 2 times. I helped him with his food and kept him accountable. In one, and he filmed everything, every workout. And with my workouts, he started in a chair, my chair force workouts. Then he went to Stand Strong, where he used the chair. Today, the son of a bitch can do my diamond cutter workouts. All right.
Those are not easy either.
No, they're not. You know, and you can really challenge yourself. He lost. He came to see me for the third time 1 year to the day in which he started his journey with Bert and picked up with me 1 month in. He ended up losing 198 pounds in 1 year.
That's like just phenomenal.
And documented everything. That video, we released it on December 26th. It did 22 million views by January 3rd. How crazy is that?
And now it's got. But now, you know what? That shows people want inspiration, man. People are hungry for inspiration. I feel like people. There's a ton of people that are down and out, and that. Man, putting stuff like out like that, it's doing a great thing.
And I'll tell you what, since then, there are so many big guys that have put it out there. And if I see their videos, if I see them on my Twitter, at RealDDP or at DDP Yoga, or on my, my Instagram site, at Diamond Dallas Page or at DDP Yoga, if I see a video, and I see that they're starting it and they're putting it out there on film, and then they follow up with it and they start putting the work in and they start to get results on their own. Because
yep.
That's what I made Jake do. I didn't like take Jake at 307 pounds and, coke, crack, booze, pills, addict on everything.
I thought there was no hope with him. Page, from when I saw him at his worst, as far as if you would have asked, like the turnaround you did with him and Scott Hall, but Jake per se, it is unbelievable.
And it was giving him the confidence again. So I sent him Arthur's video. He had never seen it.
Okay.
And this is 2012. I sent him that video and it inspired him. Like, how could it not? I'm like, dude, you're in better shape than he was. And look where he's at in less than a year. Like, we can do this. And the bottom line is he agreed to do it. And I told him, I said, if you lose 20 pounds on your own, he had to weigh himself. He was 307. I said, if you lose 20 pounds on your own, and here's how you do it. This is what you eat. And here's my DVDs, do all the modifications. And I said, it could be the easiest thing. I'm just trying to get you mobile, bro.
Yeah.
The bottom line is, I said, if you lose 20 pounds on your own, I will move you to Atlanta. I'm buying a house there, which is now the accountability crib. I'm buying a house there. I will move you in. I will pay all your bills.
Wow.
And I did the same thing with Scott, and when the thing was a big turnaround for Jake was when he tore his shoulder from all the wear and tear. Okay. You know about this.
Yeah.
No, it's not something that you just did that tore your shoulder. It's all the shit that you did. And then finally it went boop.
Yep.
And now he had this impingement where he couldn't really lift his arm. And to do my You gotta kind of move your arm.
I experienced this personally, man, so I'm right with you on this, yeah.
So bottom line is, it was, the insurance companies, if you go and they charge you as a doctor, this thing costs like $29,000.
Yeah, yep.
But if you pay it yourself, you can get it for like $14,000.
Oh, I've experienced that too with this. The medical system is a whole other story, man.
So fucked up. So bottom line is we did this Kickstarter for him. And I said, Jake, you're doing so well. People are rallying behind you. Let's do this Kickstarter. Let's see what happens. And I told him, I said, whatever they don't pay, whatever they don't chip in, I will take care of the rest. Yeah. Don't worry about it. So we put it up there and hoping to get, I believe it was, we were hoping to get like 15,000, something like that. And the first, I think it was like 9,000 we were trying to get. Because I think that's all we were hoping to get. The first, we put it up at 12 o'clock at night. The next morning, we had Jake look at it. It was like $7,500.
Wow.
And he just started crying. I mean, how could you not?
Yeah. And he ended up, man.
It was emotional to him. He ended up getting like 29,000, and the people knew. And he wasn't just, they weren't just donating. You know, he gave him pictures.
Yeah.
He gave him, phone calls. He gave him,
seeing all that. Yeah, man.
You know, the DVDs, you know, for the movie, you know, every single person who donated to Scott and Jake, if you get to the end and you keep watching the credits of the Resurrection of Jake the Snake, you will see over 4,000 names that we said thanks for donating. And it just keeps going. But it was my buddy Steve Yu, who's the director of that movie, that documentary, which, you know, we ended up, like, it was a slam dance special, and they ended up going on the road with us and putting the movie out there, and it was super powerful. And if anybody's never seen Resurrection Jake Snake, you can see it on Amazon Prime or Hulu right now.
Yep. I highly recommend it. It is incredible. And you said something, you mentioned this in your book, and I think when you have other people believing in you, and there's something truly so powerful about that, and not wanting to let other people down when somebody believes in you. And I think those Kickstarters for somebody like Jake and Scott, it touched them deeply, because how could it not? But to see that the fans have the love and the respect, and it's a power, you don't want to let other people down when somebody else believes in you. And you talk about that in your book, Positively Unstoppable, and it's such a powerful thing.
One of the things I had my whole speech written for Jake when I got up there to induct him. But at some point I went off script and I said, never underestimate the power you give someone by believing in them. More importantly, never underestimate the power you give yourself by believing in you. And that, to me, that's the most important message I put throughout Positively Unstoppable.
Yeah.
Like, it's a book that's going to help you build confidence. Now, it's not going to happen if you don't put the work in.
Yep.
But if you try to really work on it, and you listen to what I'm saying, and you highlight it, and you read some things again and again and again, it becomes part of your life. It becomes part of your reality. And once you make it part of your lifestyle, well, then you really own it, and you own it at a different level.
Yep. And you know, in your book too, you talked about, because for me, when I was in a down period in my life earlier, when I was away from WWE, the book, The Secret, actually drastically changed my life. But I always had the understanding when I read that book and when I watched the DVD, I knew what it was. It just got my mind thinking positive again. The work part was always understood by me, but that was something you talked about. You hit the nail on the head, because it's oftentimes, I just understood that, being me, when I read it, this doesn't happen without work. But that's oftentimes missed by a lot of people. And it's the most important goddamn thing in the whole thing, is you got to put in the work, because you can dream all day long. But if you truly dream and believe in something, I feel like the actions will follow. But people do need to understand, and you hit it, the nail on the head. You got to go out and do the damn work. Nobody's going to do it for you.
You know, it was funny as hell to me, because I'm watching the movie, right?
Yep.
And they show that kid, and he's dreaming about his red bike, and I got to have this red bike, and I'm watching it, and I'm like, that's awesome. Okay, when does the kid get up and go do the paper route? You know, get up. You know, when does he save so much money that his dad says, hey, you're working so hard, I'm throwing in the other half. Like, where does that? No, he opens the door one day and the bike's there.
Yep.
And I'm like, what? bullshit. I'm throwing a flag here.
They missed one major step in the whole process. I agree completely.
The secret is you got to put the work in.
Yep.
You know, there's, oh God, that kills me. You know,
yeah, no. It helped me at a point, and I talk, I'm actually in their last book on how it changed my life, but it was, for me, it was a mental thing at that point. For me, the work was always there. I had to change my attitude, which is what helped me. But the work is the most, you don't get anywhere without doing the work. And I wanted to say there was something too that I read about with the Jake Roberts situation that really, really struck me. And about mindset is, you talked about Jake was showing up and doing the DDPY, he had the negative t-shirts on, and man, that just instantly, the thoughts he was putting out there, and like in wearing the negative shirts or the depressing shirts, man, the stuff you dress in and the story you tell yourself is an extremely powerful thing. At what point was he in his progress where he finally realized, like, man, what am I doing here? And where he stopped all that.
Say that again. I'm sorry.
No, Jake was wearing like the negative t-shirts. I remember reading.
Oh, yeah. Bro. Oh, God. That's just such a great sub in. That's the one thing that we didn't film, because there were so many magic moments. And here's what happened. I was telling this story today because, again, the story you tell yourself, that inner voice, that internal dialogue we all have.
Yep.
You know, like, what is your internal dialogue? So Jake comes downstairs, and I'm sitting, you know, in the accountability crib. I'm sitting at the counter. I'm doing something on my computer, and Jake walks down, and you can just see he's really upset. And he takes his hand. Now, I've got this huge marble counter, and he punches the counter. Like, what the fuck? He goes, oh, God. I'm such a loser. And I'm like, dude, what's the matter? And he starts complaining about whatever the thing is that happened. I don't even remember what happened. All I know is whatever the voice that was in his brain was pulling him down at one of the most serious levels I'd ever seen. I call it emotional gravity.
Yep.
Like, no one can pull you down more than you. So as he's on this rant, I walk over. I go, bro, look at me. Just look at me. Stop. I go, I have to show you something. And I pulled him around and I put him in front of a mirror. We're in the bathroom downstairs. And I said, what do you see? And he goes, a loser. I go, stop saying that. I go, look what you're wearing. And he's got this shirt on. And it's a white t-shirt, and you'll see it in the opening shots within the first couple of minutes of once he moves into the crib. He's wearing it one of the many times. But this is the time where I go, what does that shirt say? And it's a skeleton, a red skeleton. And he's got like a flag. And on the flag, it says wasted youth. I go, what does that say? And it just stops him dead in his tracks. And he drops his head. And he said, wasted youth. I go, every time you wear that shirt, that's what you're saying to yourself.
Yep.
Like, you're magnified. Anytime there's a reflection of you, boom, that's what you're seeing. I go, dude, let me explain something to you. That's your story. Everything. When I listen to you talk to these reporters who are all interviewing us, you keep going back to the darkness. I go, you've got some really great shit happening right now, bro. Like, you know, first of all, you're healthier. Second of all, you got relationships like with three of your eight kids.
Yeah.
Three of them are talking to you and they're loving it. Like, you're building your relationship back. You're actually getting booked now where people know you're going to show up, and you're making three times the money you were making when you were f***ed up. I go, you got some great shit happening, man. I go, you shouldn't be wearing that shit. I said, you wear shirts like Charlie Manson.
Yep.
I go, what the f*** is that? I go, would you want one of your girls to meet Charlie Manson? He's like, no. I go, why would you wear that shirt? Giving that motherfucker any credit for anything.
Yep.
Him. He's a psycho killer scumbag. You're wearing his shirt. Him. You should be wearing never give up. Positive energy. Yeah. You should be wearing something that is unstoppable. You should be wearing something that's powerful. Yep. And he walked away, and 20 minutes later, he walked back, and honest, he'd scratched, or, you know, he'd written, he was drawing onto a one of those legal pads.
Yeah.
And he goes, what do you think of this? And he had drawn, my history is not my destiny.
Wow.
I go, I love that shirt.
Yep.
And if you watch the movie from there on, you won't see Jake wearing any of that.
No.
You know, and it comes down everything positively unstoppable. The art of owning it is all about not just, you know, it can be whatever you want it to be, but what it'll really come down to is owning your mindset, that inner voice, that story you tell yourself. And if you look at Jake and Scott at the beginning of that movie, and you get to the credits at the end, those two guys have a whole different way of looking at life.
Yep.
And neither one of those two want to die. No. The guys in the beginning are begging for death.
Yep.
So
the mindset's completely changed. And it's so, just something, man, it's, but like I said, I talk about this on my podcast, about the focus and what we give our energy to, man. And oftentimes, and I've been guilty of it in the past at times, you focus on things that there's nothing, if you have nothing positive to say about a situation, it's better sometimes just to not focus on it and to try to just shift your mind and just change that story and putting good thoughts out there as much as possible, man. And the change they had from the beginning to the end is unlike anything I've ever seen. And I think you're a huge testament to it, a testament to you and everything you've given, helping others.
You know, and the whole thing, like this book to me, you know, I've been thinking about writing this book for years because, you know, it started with just DVDs. And I'd go on the internet and I'd try to inspire people, try to tell them what to eat. And then I came up with the DDPY, you know, fitness system that had, you know, your workbook and, you know, how to inspire yourself, you know, a little piece of inspiration, and then how to set goals, take pictures, recipes. And then with the app that's got, you know, now 180 workouts and literally start in bed. You know, you can't get out of bed. I got 3 workouts for you in bed that'll help you get out of bed, you know,
yep.
And then go to a chair, then use a chair all the way to Psycho Extreme. There's all the recipes that I not only show you and give you directions how to make them, I make them for you and do cooking shows around that. And then, of course, all the motivational Mondays,
yeah,
and the tracking. Well, this book, if you actually are putting the work in and you actually read the book and you apply what I'm saying, well, this is the book that can make you unstoppable. And what we've started here, and I don't know if I even talked to you about this before this, but we have a positively unstoppable challenge that if you go to positivelyunstoppable.com,
okay,
and you enter our challenge, and it, you know, the transformation, the challenge we're throwing out there is we're looking for the 2 finalists that will have the best physical change of their body and their mind. Now, how we do in their mind, there's going to be a questionnaire, and you're going to have to write an essay. Like, again, yep, putting the work in,
yep,
along with the, you know, you got to take the pictures, take videos, but don't just take a picture when you take those 6 pictures. Hold on to a, you know, prove that it's that day. Get a newspaper that says today's date, January 23rd or whatever the day is, you know.
Yep.
And so, you know, when you start, we're going to end the contest May 31st. So it's really a 4-month contest. Now, if you start a little early in January, you get another week or two. Some people started January 2nd. Because we announce this on the 1st. But whoever has the greatest transformation physically and mentally, we're going to give them the chance to win $1
million. $1
million. So let you know, you read this, my brother. You read the beginning of the book. The first 2 sentences ask the question. The first question is, what would you do if you knew your success was a certainty?
Yep.
In other words, what would you do if you knew you couldn't fail? Now, I know there's a lot of people who still question themselves and, you know, no, I don't think I could do it, but I'm going to join the challenge anyway. But I'm going to guarantee you that there are people who are starting this challenge, this contest, who have registered on registered on positivelyunstoppable.com. I'll guarantee you there are a minimum of two people, there might be 200 or 2,000, that honestly believe that they are going to be the two finalists. They're starting this contest knowing in their mind that they, that their success is a certainty. They really believe that failure is not an option, that they cannot fail.
Yep.
And out of that, two people are going to be right. And I can't wait to talk to them. We're going to fly them into Atlanta. Now, everyone in Canada, except for Quebec, because Quebec, for some reason, won't let us do it there. But all over Canada and the United States. And next year, our goal is to make it around the world. But we couldn't put it all together fast enough. But we've never done this before. So going into this, are we going to have some snags? Are we going to make some mistakes? Sure. But we're going to learn from them.
Yep.
I'm not going into this contest going, oh, God, it's going to fail. It's never going to happen.
Just we're never going to figure it out later, man. You adjust and evolve as you go along. Just throw yourself out. I've done it with many things, and it doesn't always go right. And there's always going to be setbacks and mistakes, but you don't stop. You keep moving forward. You adjust. And you keep a positive mindset, and you wake up another day hungry and go after it.
Absolutely, man. And that once people start to believe in themselves, like, that is something that's super special.
It is.
And there are two people. We will fly them to Atlanta. We will put them up at the accountability crib, and we will bring them over to our DDP Yoga Performance Center, which is less than a mile away. And we're going to film it live. And it's going to be super cool. I already see it, but it the picture's not clear enough, but I see the outline of everything. And every day as we get closer, it gets a little clearer.
Yep.
And I just can't, you know, it's going to be amazing. We hired a company to do all of the contest part of it because it was just too much work.
Yeah.
You know, we couldn't
do it.
You're only one
man. You're only one man.
You know, we got a great company, but you know, the people I have with me, like, pretty amazing. Like, one of my guys, we have a new documentary coming out this year. We just sent it in to get sound and color, which means the picture's locked now.
Okay.
But it's called Relentless. And it starts with Kevin Nash power bombing me. It's not the exact power bomb, but it's one of the ones that he hit me with.
They all do their damage over time.
Right. The one he hit me with was in a house show. And it was him and Scott against me and Canyon. And I can remember crawling over to Canyon and going, I broke my back, dude. Do not tag me in. I was in so much pain. What happened is I exploded my L4 and L5. Those discs just got disintegrated. Now, on that, you were writing me that you have been doing stem cells that have helped those discs grow back?
Five of my discs, my L1, 2, 3, 4, and 5. That's when I left. That was what changed my entire mindset when I was there. I never wanted to leave, but that my shoulder was always in pain, but that was from cortisone shots eating away cartilage. My back, for about my last 2 years there, it started, and I was doing that backpack stunner night in and night out from developmental for about 10 years. And when I left, so I thought when I left that I never had an MRI on it. I thought, like, whatever back pain I had, I thought it was just muscular, was going to go away. It flipped the other way. I turned into a 95-year-old man almost instantaneously. I couldn't lie on the ground. I couldn't bend over. It was a truly humbling experience. And the nerves started firing down my leg. My right leg atrophied, It happened instantaneously. And
wow.
They told me, I went and saw two specialists that said I needed a 5-disc fusion and a shoulder replacement. And I was 34 or 5 at the time. I think I just turned 35. And it was, I go, if I do this, I'm done. If I go that route. And my chiropractor, Dr. John Wise here in Vegas, said, there's a great stem cell doctor here. I want you to go see him. He's been with me from day one, this chiropractor, and working on me off the road. And great guy, great human being. And this doctor, Dr. Baumgartle, here in Las Vegas, Nevada, Nevada Spine Clinic, has single-handedly saved my career. I can now do everything. I had to quit squatting and deadlifting for about a year and a half. I could squat and deadlift again. I'm not maxing out or anything like that, but I got two more stem cell procedures, one this Monday, which I'm doing a 72-hour fast for, to increase the stem cell production that when they go into my bone marrow, there's somewhere between 10 and 20 times more stem cells. So I'm getting a super procedure just by fasting for 72 hours. So I've conditioned myself for this. I've trained. I've done 48 hours already. I got 72 hours starting tomorrow at 4 p.m. I got my back procedure Monday. I got my next shoulder scope on the 29th and my last shoulder stem cell on the 11th. And then the big guy's getting back into wrestling full time after that. But it's been, man, it has been a truly humbling experience. And like I said, I couldn't do anything. I was going to the gym and doing these makeshift workouts, and I'd get out of bed and I rolled out. I had to fell to my knees. I couldn't stand up. And I truly feel it gave me a better understanding of back pain and the depression that it causes people. And,
sure.
And you have to, but I don't take pills. I don't do any of that, man. And I just knew I had to be patient. And since I opted the stem cells, give them time to do work their magic. And I didn't help anything by wrestling for a bit with it, but I've since learned my doctor got through to me. I've been taking it easy, and I'm the best I've been in years. So
that's pivotal, bro. You have to heal over that period. Yep. Now, let me ask you, the stem cells you're doing, are they placenta stem cells, or are they coming out of your own body?
No, so they're doing my bone marrow from my hip. They've been using bone marrow. They did my shoulder. My first three shoulder procedures, they doubled up. They did a fat cell procedure, and then 2 weeks later went back in there with my bone marrow. And then they've just been doing bone marrow since. But the bone marrow's worked so well. And most people, they get one procedure, and they're good. But I was in such bad shape. It's taken. This is going to be the fourth one on my back. And granted, in Paige, I'm trying to get myself back to a level that I can go back and be a main event talent and push myself again. I know where I need to be able to do that. And
right.
So I've had, this is the toughest part actually, because I have to be very patient because I feel good again, but I need to be a little stronger. And this is where I think, and we were talking, I think after this next round, I know it's coming out there and implementing, because I'm taking 2 months off of the gym for this to let everything set in one final time before I start my training to come back. And I think the DDP yoga is going to be, the DDPY is going to play a big part in for those first couple months too, because I'm not going to be doing any weights or anything, and I'm just going to let my body heal and work on my flexibility. And now that the scope is going to be able to allow my shoulder to move a little more free with the new stuff they found in there. So it's been a process, man, but patience is something that is I've learned in this time away.
Well, you see them all, like every video that you see, all of Relentless, our new documentary, all of the Resurrection Jake the Snake, we did everything. So like we did all the filming, all the editing, everything. So when you're ready, I want you to come out here and spend at least a week.
Yeah.
And you'll hang with me. We'll work out. You'll still be able to do all your stuff you want to do in between that. But I want to share, man, dude, I got a hyperbaric chamber that is 12 PSI, which means 30 feet below sea level. Ooh. So this is, I can't tell you what this has done for me. Like it is. It's healed my brain, because I could feel like getting a little forgetful, and a lot of shots in the head. And I really wasn't thinking about so much today. I was thinking, how will this be 10 years from now?
Yeah.
You know, I'll be 63 in 2 months. I'm not training. I'm not thinking about preparing for 65. That's going to be your tomorrow.
Yep.
You know, I'm preparing for 75, 85, 95, and believe it or not, 105.
I'm the same way, man. I want to live to be as long, as old as I can, and but feel as good as I can.
And that's the deal. That's the deal with my hyperbaric chamber. Like, the next level is the one that's in the hospital. And when you get to 30 feet below sea level or 12 PSI, it's not only rushing oxygen into your cells and your blood and oxidizing your blood, but at 12 PSI, it breaks the brain-blood barrier. And what that means, it starts heading up oxygen into your brain. And healing at a different level.
Yeah.
Healing at a cellular level. I have an endocrinologist, and I go see her every 6 months. I get all my blood work done, which is right now amazing. Yeah. Right now, she's like, I can't believe where you're at right now. And I was telling her about my hyperbaric chamber, and she was like, well, you know, Dallas, I don't know enough about them, but I do know this. I had a patient who was coming off of breast cancer and radiation treatments. And she said she had a incision that was a wound that she had for 2 years that would not heal. She said she tried every combination of medicine that she could. And at some point, you know, she said, so the only thing I could think of was I sent her down to Emory's. Emory's a huge hospital, you know, college here that has all the highest, newest down there.
Okay.
And they've got like the space age hyperbaric chamber. It looks like something that's out of a science fiction movie. And it's all glass. You can see in it. And it's all oxygen. But the PSI is like 15. Which is a little bit more than mine, but it doesn't matter. Once you get to 12, it's going through your whole body.
Yep.
But going to that hyperbaric chamber 5 days a week for 2 months, the woman was 100% healed.
There's something to it. I'm sold.
There's something. And I'll tell you one other thing. Nash just turned me on to this, and it's called a Beamer. And I'll send you a link.
Okay.
It's about blood flow, and when you hang up with me, go to YouTube, and just put Beamer blood flow, BEAMER blood flow, okay. And you'll see how a normal person's blood flow goes through their body, through the capillaries, and how slow it moves. But when you get on a Beamer, morning and night. And it's like 15 minutes, morning, 15 minutes, night. Got to drink 8 ounces of water before, 8 ounces of water afterwards. And again, Nash turned me on to this. It mind-boggling how much faster it gets your blood moving, which energizes you, but it also gets the blood where you're having like I had trouble with my hands, like my hands going numb, like literally waking me up. And I can't imagine what these NFL guys are going through.
Yeah,
with it, wow. You know, what they've gone through. But my hands would be so numb, I'd wake up and I have to like hit myself and try to get it. Nash told me he was going all the way up his bicep, and since he's been on this thing, creates the blood flow. And when you see it, you're going to freak you out. But
I'll check that out.
Like, it's a multi-level gimmick. They've got this thing going, so these people make money. But Kev, it's like $1,700 if you go through them. But if you go through this site that he gave me, it was $1,225. I'm telling you, one of my kids who lives with me, she does it. My wife does it. When they're laying on it, my dogs come. I got three Frenchies. Two of them will come on each side of her because they want to. It must be, you know, dogs are smarter than human beings.
Frenchies are the best, man. I got one in a Boston myself. They're great dogs.
Dudes, send me that picture. I'll send you a couple pictures of ours.
Okay, you got it.
Yeah, because Frenchie people, you know, they're...
Oh, yeah. My baby Sophie's actually had three back surgeries. She's 3 years old and has disc disease. I've spent the whole year helping her. It's been, but that's a whole other story. I'll tell you about that later. But it's, man, I love her to death, man. But she's doing good now, but... I know you have a lot. It's late your time, Paige, and I don't want to keep you. I just want to wrap this up, and I just want to ask you your thoughts on this because I think it's a great deal. You have great, rich history with Cody Rhodes. How proud are you with everything he's doing with the All Elite Wrestling and AEW? And for him, I've known him a long time. I used to live with him, and back in Louisville, Kentucky. And I just what are your thoughts on everything Cody's doing and what he's done and how he's matured and grown up?
Mind blown, bro. Yep. Let me tell you a story because I don't know if you know this story, but back when Dusty had Turnbuckle Entertainment, and I was going to the WWE, and 2002, he's 14 at that time or whatever age he is. Yeah. All I know is I say to him, maybe it was 2001 or 2000, somewhere around there. And I see him, he's at the gym where we had the ring and stuff. And I said, so when you start football, bro? He's going to be a sophomore. And he says, I'm not going to play football this year. I went, what? You've been playing since you're 10 years old or 8 years old. I go, you love football? He goes, yeah, I still love football. He said, but I'm going to focus on wrestling this year. He goes, in my junior year, I'm going to win the states. I go, you're going to win the states in your junior year. I go, that's a bold statement there, young. I always called them young buck. How funny is that? But I say, that's a bold statement, young buck. I go, you know what that's going to, it's going to take for that. He goes, hell yeah, it's going to take a lot. I'm going to have to put the work in. So his sophomore year, he goes like 18 and 12 or something. His junior year, I'm in L.A., and I find out that he's 11-0. So I call him up. I'm like, hey, young buck, what's up? He goes, oh, man, great. Oh, man, what a year I'm having. I'm 11-0, blah, blah, blah. We talking. Then I call him back when he's 24-0. And he's super pumped, super level-headed, but super pumped. Yep. And then I call him back when he's 33-0. And he says to me, oh, my God, Dallas, I mean, I just got interviewed by the Atlanta Constitution, the journal here. And, they interviewed, NBC came and they interviewed me and Pop. And, he always called him Dusty. He called him Pop. He called him Dusty. Yeah. Me and Dusty. And he goes, oh, Dallas, you just don't know. I go, whoa, slow down there, young buck. I think I was a three-time world champion. I think, no, I don't mean it like that. I go, listen, kid, keep your feet on the ground. You're 33-0. I go, you got a huge bullseye on you. Yeah. I said, I'll tell you what, you get to the state finals. You get to the state finals, I'll be there. I live in LA. He's like, you're going to be there? You're going to come? I go, absolutely. I wouldn't miss it. Yeah. I booked it right away.
Yeah.
Son of a bitch went 48-0.
And you know what? He never talks about that. He doesn't talk about that at all, man. Because a lot of people would be, and I know, no doubt he's proud about it, but that just goes to show, because I never once ever heard him brag about that or bring that up. And
well, listen to this. The next year, I want to say he's 12-0, and I hear he loses. So I call him up. Hey, young buck, what's up? He's like, Dallas, I lost. Lost. And I went and I said, thank God.
Yeah.
And he went, what? Why would you say that, Dallas? Why would you say that? I said, Cody, do you think you learn anything from winning? I go, bro, you learn from losing.
Yep.
You learn from falling down. You learn from making mistakes. I go, that's how you learn. I said, you see, you know something now. Like, that kid thinks he beat you. I go, you're not in the state championship yet. I go, would you rather been 46-0, met him in the state's finals, and he beat you then? I go, he thinks he beat you. I go, you got one up on him right now.
Yep.
I go, now just freaking stay centered and just keep focusing. I brought my daughter Brittany to that match, and I was up in the stands. And in Georgia, when you're in the state finals, you have your family. That's the five people. That has a lot to do with what happened at All In.
Yeah.
Bringing those five guys down. You could have five family members. And I'm up in the stands. And wow. Cody looks at his dad. He goes, Dad, get Dallas down here. Like, one of his family members had to leave.
Wow.
And I came down there for that and watched him eat the same kid who beat him.
That's incredible.
Yeah, and ate him.
Yeah.
And here's what was really interesting. Over that period, we were talking about him going to, you know, he really, in his mind, he was going to win the states. Mm-hmm. So winning two state championships, if he loses, and he didn't really say that, but if that happens, then maybe I'll go and go for some AAU championships. But if I win two state championships, I sort of proved to myself where I am with that. Yeah. You know, maybe I'll come out to LA and be an actor. So his junior year, I brought him out. And when he came out that week, Terry Crews was nobody. And Terry Crews is one of the guys in my book who talks about what this book means.
Yeah. Yep.
I knew Terry when he was nothing. And I used to tell him, you're going to be one of the biggest stars in the world, bro. I just knew it by who he was. And I told Cody that. And Terry was on a movie with Snoop Dogg called Soul Plane.
Yeah.
And I brought him to the set. I introduced him. Terry just had a bit part. I introduced him to Terry. I told him, Terry's going to be one of the biggest stars in the world. And I brought him. Rob Zombie had a party for House of a Thousand Corpses. I brought him to that. Here's a 17-year-old kid getting pictures with Rob Zombie, Terry Crews.
Yep.
So he came out to Hollywood, and he worked with my guy, Howard Fine, who is one of the best acting coaches. Now he works with NXT. You know, because of Cody, though. That's why. And he got his chops in acting and learned the way you're supposed to learn, how to write bios and how to really own the character, bring yourself to it. So then he came to OVW and got with you guys, and you know what happened there.
Yep.
But knowing the kid who told me he was going to win the state championship when he was a sophomore, and not that year, the next year, like when – I heard that he said that he was going to draw 10,000 people.
You knew he was going to do it.
I just felt like when it happened, people were like, were you surprised? I'm like, yeah, yes, but no.
Yeah.
Yep. Like,
you've known him from since he was little, so you would know best.
And what's great is I get the, to be around, to be a fly on the wall. People say, are you going to go to AEW? It's like, no, that's not. That's not my thing,
Yeah.
I'm changing the world at a different level. Now, and WWE has been very good to me.
Absolutely.
So I have an amazing relationship, and I'm very loyal.
Yep.
They've been very good to me. But if he needs me for something here and there, spot thing, heck, I'm there.
Yeah.
Just like I was for All In. But WWE, same thing. They need me. Boom, I'm going to go do something.
Yep.
It's going to be something short, easy, and doable.
Yeah.
But I'm so proud of him.
I think it's just good for wrestling in general because he has an evolved mindset too, and some of the things that you're hearing that they're going to be doing. I'm excited as a pro wrestler myself, as a fan. I think it's good. I think competition is always good, and I'm beyond happy with him for that. But Paige, I want to wrap up. I ask every guest this, but before we go, if there's one piece of advice, and I know there's many, and there's a lot, if you just one piece of advice you can give our listeners and everybody out there from what you've learned in your life, one thing you could leave them with, what would that be?
Oh, man. More than anything, never give up.
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't matter how many times you fall down.
Yep.
You know, like so many people, bro, I will meet them and they'll go, I bought your program. And I'll go, so are you doing it? And some people will say to me, no, I haven't done it yet. I'm like, what are you waiting for? Well, I'm afraid I'll fail.
Yep.
Like I said in the beginning of this, Churchill said that success is moving from failure to failure.
Yeah.
Without losing enthusiasm.
Yep.
Without a lack of enthusiasm. So you just got to get in. And if you start and you stop, that's okay. Start again.
Yep.
And then just reprogram. And that's, again, that's what Positively Unstoppable is all about. It's teaching you the art of owning it. And the people out there who are listening, go get it. Go get the book. If you're really jazzed up and you want to take it to another step and go to positivelyunstoppable.com and get in our contest. Try to win $1 million.
Nothing to lose on that.
Yeah, it's
hold yourself accountable.
And that's really what it is. It's just like, try to just start to believe in yourself, because believe me, it really works. Like, you can create your own destiny.
Absolutely.
I've been doing it my whole life, and everybody has the ability to do what they're looking to do. They just got to believe it. Believe in yourself.
Absolutely. Paige, I can't thank you enough for making the time. You had this busy day, and I know you've had a hell of a 3 days, and get some sleep. And I thank you greatly for doing what you're doing and helping people. And you're an inspiration to me, and you've always been great to me, and you have all the respect in the world for me. So with that being said, guys, we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back after these messages. Hey, what's going on, guys? It's the big guy, Ryback, and I want to talk to you about Fuel Meals, my personal meal prep service I've been using for years. Meal prep at your doorstep. Fuel Meals at FuelMeals.com has something for everybody. An easy way to eat healthy in this fast-paced life we are all living. Whenever I'm in a pinch, I go to my Fuel Meals, and I love it. I love to eat real food, but the fact is, I can't cook for every single meal of the day. So Fuel Meals come in handy for me when I need it most, and I think it could help you too. Tell them the big guy sent you, and use discount code THEBIGGUY to save 15%. FuelMeals.com. Feed me more. We are back. Man, like to thank Diamond Dallas Page for coming on Conversation with the Big Guy Ryback and speaking with me. And man, he is an inspirational dude, if there is one out there. And he's been an inspiration for me too. And just my interactions with him and in being one of the guys I grew up watching, and he's a good, kind-hearted human being. What you see is real. It's genuine. That maybe isn't always necessarily the case with everyone. With a lot of them it is, but for him it 100% is. And it helped me with my business, with my Feed Me More Nutrition and everything I do. And seeing him, how he interacts with people. And I think, and I've read this time and time again, and I've always kept this in my mind and my heart. And it's hard at times being extremely busy, but just trying to help people. And that if you can find something you're passionate about and offer something of service and help people and just try to be kind and help people, usually, you know, from a business standpoint, everything's going to work out all right. Maybe not necessarily always the case, but it's just a matter of, it is just something. And I get emails from you guys and whatnot and DMs and on Instagram and on Twitter. And I do my best to try to help as much as I can and whatnot. And sometimes I can't always get to everything all the time, but it's just seeing that from him. It's inspired me. And it's just, he's doing great things. He's helping people. We've seen it all documented. And I highly, highly recommend you guys check out his book, Positively Unstoppable, out now. With his DDPY yoga program. I'm looking forward to starting it back up here. I'm going to take a couple months off of the gym after these stem cell procedures. And just a great guy. I loved talking to him. So I hope you guys enjoyed that as well. With that, I think we're going to go ahead, wrap up episode 125 here. We'll have JD and Asian Joe back next week. But with that, I think go ahead and tune up. I like the little bit of Beethoven at the end of this show. He's a little classical music never hurt anybody. For all fan mail, guys, P.O. Box 752740, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89136. Amazon merch for my Feed Me More Nutrition, all Ryback stuff, all Feed Me More stuff. Conversation with the Big Guy shirts are now available on Amazon. If you'd like to support this podcast on Amazon merch, just type in Feed Me More Nutrition or Feed Me More or Ryback. Feed Me More Nutrition, available on feedmemore.com, eBay, and Amazon, and at Wise Chiropractic here in Las Vegas. For personal video shout-outs from myself, go to cameo.com/thebigguyryback. Wake Up, It's Feeding Time, my motivational book, available on Amazon in paperback, Audible, and Kindle formats. For all pro wrestling bookings, book the big guy at yahoo.com or Bill Barons at showbiz@aol.com. Fuel Meals, my personal meal prep service. Can't say enough good things about them. I eat those things when I'm actually eating, not fasting. FuelMeals.com. Save 15% with discount code THEBIGGUY. And follow us on social media, YouTube.com facebook.com/feedmemore channel, at CWTBG, at Ryback22, and at FMMN Nutrition on Twitter. Feed Me More Nutrition on Facebook, at The Big Guy Ryback22, at Feed Me More Nutrition, and at Conversation with the Big Guy on Instagram, and Ryback247 on Snapchat. Thank you guys for listening. You've just listened to another episode of Conversation with the Big Guy Ryback. Feed me more.
This is Conversation with the Big Guy Ryback. Subscribe, like, rate, comment, and